Welcome to Lost River Legends. Our motto, Ex Tenebris, is Latin for out of the shadows. We attempt to understand the complex world around us and bring light to subjects hidden in darkness. We explore paranormal topics with guests from all around the world. Now welcome your Lost River Legends hosts, James and Brett. We hope you enjoy the show.
Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot researcher and author, and you're listening to Lost River Legends.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Lost River Legends. This is one of your hosts, James. Today, we are joined by Miles Johnson from UK Underground and the Basis Project. Miles has been investigating UFOs, abductions, underground bases, super soldiers, sentient black goo, and many other topics of worldwide import for the lion's share of his life. He has a strong background in radio broadcasting and video production and has produced some outstanding material, some of which is available on YouTube under his Miles Johnston channel. He presents some new information that may take some re-listening to grasp the deep relationships and meaning it has for each of us as participants in humanity and the planet's future. Listen intently as Miles drops some very insightful connections that may just get you keyed into a whole new realm of possibilities. We hope you enjoy listening to this interview as much as we appreciated having him on our show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Lost River Legends. We're joined by our guest, Miles Johnston, also known as Megawatts 1066. Miles, welcome to our show. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine. We have a little bit of a storm here in Wiltshire, which is literally halfway between London and Bristol. And not too far away, we have Avebury, the Standing Stones, Stonehenge, and the mystery of the crop circles. And that was, it's so good fun when you just have them appear next door. And of course, quite a few underground secret bases, the Britain's transgenic program, the super soldier program. A lot of super soldiers were trained not too far away from here in a place called Burnworthy Manor. But first, and more exciting than ever before, this special episode, Megawatts 1066, is because I'm the only person who put on two FM pirate radio stations running in excess of 1 million watts. And that's where my handle comes from. And the last frequency I operated on was 106.6. And that happened to coincide with 1066, the year the British Isles were invaded by the Normans. So 1066. So the reason why we did the pirate stations is because we couldn't, broadcasting in Britain is so heavily policed and controlled. And up until really only about 25 years ago, 30 years ago now, there was very few radio stations, very few choices of broadcasting. And I was very privileged and really great to be right in there at the start of what we call Sky Television. I'm a professional broadcast, a studio engineer, and, you know, 3 o'clock this morning, I was on an outside broadcast at the Millennium Dome in central London. So I've done broadcast television. I'm an engineer. I've built FM transmitters to put them on the air on the Irish border. And that's when I saw my first scuttler. And I started my UFO thing when I was about five. And when I was a kid in what we would call, I think, secondary school, I don't know what you'd call it. It's a fifth grade, just before you leave school. My UFO stuff, when I was I was 17 years old, I was on the local TV station in Belfast called Ulster Television. I had a double-page spread on UFOs across the local papers. So then I was in the British UFO Research Association as I went through uni, and that led to my in-depth regional investigations coordinator in Ireland, and we started a UFO group there. We won't go into the detailed history, but that gives me a detailed background over most of my life involving the UFO subject and stuff like that. But also, I've been on both sides of legal broadcasting and actually on camera and actually behind a mic on radio stations. And also, I shoot a lot of video. And I shot the Irish era of pirate radio, which goes back to 1979. And that ended when my big, fat 1.2 megawatt station, KISS FM 103.7 out of Monaghan, we were broadcasting with a thing called intelligence transfer sequencing, because we understood then that telepathic communication is dead easy through the old AM radio system. Because we could figure out what the DJ's next record was going to be, because he was thinking about it when he queued it up before he was going to play it in the radio. And some radio amateurs have noticed that things changed when they started broadcasting on AM at the very start of broadcasting way back in the early 1900s, when people had crystal radio sets and things. There was something else in the signal. Very, very important. And subsequently, of course, we've updated to all sorts of broadcast media. So the Scuttler. So we all came off the air in December 1988. KISS FM, which is now a station that's been on the air with a license here in British Isles, I gave them the name while they were a pirate, because the mate of mine who gave me the transmitters to put my station KISS FM on, I gave him the jingle package, which comes from Los Angeles, which is KISS FM. But in those days, that's what we did. We just got on the air. We had a hell of a good time. It was absolutely fantastic. It was a bit like when soldiers go to war. You have this comedy. You're together. You're doing something. It's really exciting. And we then came off the air in December 88. I then went and joined Sky Television at the very start of Rupert Murdoch's brand new complete revolution in television in London. And we did that. Got a lot of UFO documentaries compiled and made by Sky News and Sky Television. Those are still available on things like the Discovery Channel and History Channel and things under slightly different names. We got the first major network, a British show, apart from George Knapp's material, which of course is seminal, on Area 51, had a whole program, a whole documentary made on Dreamland. And the production company, when they made that, a guy called Bruce Burgess did that, to the extent that he had to make a remake of Area 51 and basically say that everything he said in the one that I got made, they came to me and asked me what to do. I got Bill Uhouse, first person to get Bill Uhouse on network TV. Bill Uhouse was in the era of Bob Lazar and John Lear way back in 89 and 1990. And I got an interview with Bill Uhouse, and that was one of my first interviews, which went on my YouTube channel, which was almost at the very start of YouTube. So I've been there for a long time when they only had allowed you little square pictures with 300 lines and only lasting 10 minutes. But Bill Uhouse was a really good guy, and it was great to interview him. But he said a number of things there which people didn't catch up on until 15, 20 years later.
Well, it sounds like quite the glory days of radio and broadcasting that you've contributed to and been a part of and been at the heart of. And this different parallel vein that you had going on with the UFO investigations.
Sorry, just to answer your question.
Sure.
The point is KISS FM 103.7 was the first megawatt station. A few years later, when it was absolutely unheard of and impossible, I overcame the impossible, and there's important reasons why that happened. And we went on the air again with Energy 106.6. And that's when we set up another big tower, put a whole pile of antenna on it. We're talking a 200-foot tower with 12 antenna on it. We're talking something big, run on three-phase generators. We're not licensed, but we're still allowed to broadcast. And my station manager, the guy who we all got together and said, let's do this. He got abducted. Now, he got abducted at Monaghan at a place called right up on the Monaghan border with Northern Ireland, way up that little bit that joins up in the middle, with a place called St. Patrick's Chair and Well. And that's when he was taken four times by other beings which look like grey. And this is when the Fae come in. We've got other dimensional beings living in the same space in Ireland, which St. Patrick couldn't handle. And that's why he called that region St. Patrick's Chair and Well. And there's a whole history with the Vatican and its connection with interdimensional gateways and demonic entities, which would make your hair turn. But that is where, running that transmitter, as I opened it up to service it, I opened up the what's called the RF output cabinet. It's a sealed cabinet where the actual 7,000 volts and all the rest of it, and all the power happens. And when I took off the cover, there it was, a big, fuzzy, spider-type thing right all over the main output tube. And it just crept away very slowly. It took about 3 to 5 seconds. And that's a long 3 to 5 seconds, as this huge, big, fuzzy spider, which creeps away like a crab. And it took about 10 years before somebody came up with a name for that, and it's called a scuttler. And that's when we discovered at Sky Television and in other broadcast operations that some people would have a thing called a crab on their back. And this would be a large spider-type crab that would be housed on the back, on your back. And then that's when we start dealing with the Archon, builders of the Matrix, a different level of reality. And that is when we've got to dump this outer space 3D aspect of where the aliens come from. And that's where the story goes.
So you're basically saying that these are interdimensional entities that are crossing over. Some of the power and frequencies may be attracting them or allowing some kind of portal.
Well, the first thing that we've, just after that, on the Bill Uhuis thing, Bill Uhuis gave some unique aspects of the greys, and very critically, he explained how you can train the finest people in the finest levels of various technical aspects or whatever of dealing with the aliens, but only about 3 out of 100 would be able to physically engage an actual so-called grey. And the type of ET that he was showing on his posters look like greys, but they're nothing like them. They're much older species. And there's quite a few different species which come from the inner Earth region. It's like the elements of the, if you can think of the Earth like a donut or like an apple, and the inner aspects of the apple or this core of the toroid is where things go a bit iffy. But he explained that when you physically met one of these beings, your energy field wouldn't work with their energy field. And this goes back to the very start of the Bases Project. As I was filming for those pirate stations, and I'd sort of almost finished the edits of the Irish Era Pirate Radio, which is, some of it's on my YouTube channel. It's been copyright hit for the music, for, you know, so they've ruined it. I met a guy called Barry King. Now, the point about Barry King is, he was a security guard for one of the secret underground bases here in Berkshire in the central South England. But his father, and this is where the whole thing is so crucial, his father was on the British intelligence find it and don't blow it up team, there'll probably be another word for it, as the war in Europe began to wind down. And he found, and the reason why he found, because they knew it was there, because we had Nazis here in Wiltshire working with in the underground chambers and labs on transgenic beings during the war. So we have a situation where we are at war, so-called, with Germany. And that's when deeper analysis of the World War gives really the whole thing was nothing like we've been told. So we have a situation at the end of this so-called war that Barry's father finds a laboratory, and the Germans are working with special, or rather odd-looking humans Didn't call them alien. But what he had actually found were the first known biological transgenic beings, which they were making for use in very hostile environments. And he got sick when he encountered these beings. And they were essentially under Project Paperclip. All that stuff was brought to England. Essentially, in very crude terms, the United States got the rocket scientists. They also got an awful lot more than they bargained for, which enabled the full takeover of huge areas of American industry, which is why Eisenhower explained about the industrial military complex. De facto, the invasion, the German invasion of, or the so-called controllers of Germany, invaded and took control of the United States during the war. You've got to understand in the context of this that in 1935, the British Empire was fully dissolved. The opium trade that financed the British Empire was then absorbed by the American Empire. And that's why America suddenly, during the 1930s, became so much more powerful. And it's also why the Chinese are not happy with any of the Westerners because of this ancient, those old opium wars, right? So we have a situation, a major change of power is happening, and where Germany was making aliens. They were making physical beings which could survive in 3D, which would work in other environments such as so-called outer space. Here in Britain, they developed in vitro fertilization. In vitro fertilization was designed to make these transgenic beings, which were soulless organic robot, which Britain could use on its lunar base. Now, have I said enough there to give you an indication that this is deep, serious, and just about everything you've been told is a load of baloney?
Well, it definitely gives, it allows us to question some of our reality going back to Project Paperclip, that's a very well-known thing, and it's become more of just a commonplace thing. But what we also see there is a takeover of the corporations and the power of the corporation. And we have to remember that the National Socialists, they were hooked on having the corporations be at the core of the state. And so what we see today is a permutation of that that has gone underground, literally and figuratively.
What's the agenda of those corporations? It's completely against all life on this planet.
Correct. And we have to also assess that what were some of the main aims of the Nazis when they were in power and what they were striving to do. Some of their things were, a lot of people go, oh, you know, it was kind of woo-woo that they were trying to have this Aryan race and they were trying to have supermen. But when you tie it to this project that you're talking about with the transgenics, it sounds like they were achieving their means along different paths, one of which being in Britain, and then the craft side of that here in the United States and Antarctica. So you have a multi-pronged insertion or attack.
Okay, you've mentioned Antarctica. Now, one of the things which happened after World War II, or during World War II, was the installation of various ministries which were designed to start messing around with agriculture. And there's a completely independent individual who wrote a number of books on this called Graham Harvey. Graham Harvey is a scriptwriter for the BBC's Archers radio show, which essentially was designed by the BBC and the Ministry of Information to essentially educate people during the war what was the best thing to, through a soap opera. He noticed that after studying the mechanisms of the industrialization of agriculture, that the way that agriculture is being run is to demineralize over a long period of time the fertile food baskets of the world. In other words, anywhere that naturally grows rich, healthy food, they are being specifically targeted with poisons and a mechanism for washing the nutrients from the natural soils into the oceans to desertify all the fertile food baskets of the world. That's what agriculture has been designed to do for the last 70 years. That is called the desertification of the planet. So the mechanism, the creatures which we're dealing with, are here to completely remove all organic life from this planet. They've done it to four worlds before now. The portals that we mentioned earlier were all opened and locked open in Western Europe, in these castles, with the purpose of letting in dark matter life forms from their domain into ours. In other words, the floodgates for a completely toxic form of life, black life, black or dark matter life, has been opened to flood all living things in this world now, to the extent that all souls on the planet, especially westernized souls, are now contaminated by 95%, only about 3 years ago it was about 70%, with dark matter life forms, which are toxic to our very existence in multiple domains. As a consequence to that, elements have been brought here to shut those portals down and to return those life forms back to their natural domains. The beings who have instigated that program have committed the most heinous crimes under universal law, and they are slated for oblivion or deletion. Now, in the cycles of the universe and the cycles as we go through things, as the snake eats its tail, that's ancient symbol, we are going through this period of time now where the cycle has been broken. Timelines which allowed these creatures to escape into other realities are being collapsed, so there's no way out for these things. They've been given every chance there is in the book, they've blown it, and now they are being taken out. And you're witnessing that in today's world, in today's 3D, with certain things which are going on right now.
That's a fascinating breakdown and analysis of information from a totally different angle that a lot of people are not approaching the subject.
Well, just so you understand things, right, let's just look at a simple, very simple thing called a transistor radio, or a radio, a wireless radio. The fundamental principles on how you tune in to listen to one radio signal rather than just hear a lot of mush, a lot of noise, the crucial mathematics is the fundamental base of multidimensional, shall we say, complex number space. The reason why it's called complex number space is in order for you to work out the mathematics to build the inductance and capacitance in a radio so it will tune to get that one frequency rather than another frequency is what's called complex numbers, complex mathematical equations. So therefore, you have what's called negative numbers in those equations to make you tune in that radio. Now, what we're told is this is just a mathematical concept. It doesn't exist in reality. It's just there so you can tune your radio in with inductance and capacitance. And you work that out, you get the Q of a circuit. And that's why you use this term Q. You get the Q of a circuit, and that mathematics will allow you to tune in that radio station rather than the one next door to it. It will tune in. It will make it harmonically of least resistance. So that frequency will come through rather than something else. Now, if you then extend that to the basic graph, you have a graph, an X term along the bottom and a Y term, which goes up, and you plot your curves and stuff on your graph. What you're doing with the negative numbers is you're extending into negative X numbers, and you're then extending into negative Y numbers. In 3D, you're extending into positive XYZ, or Z numbers, and also minus Z, right? Now, we're told that the only thing that really exists is the positive numbers. Well, that's not the case. You can have a physical domain in the negative number domain, or the two number, the double negative number domain, or the triple negative number domain. And that's when it gets a little bit complicated. We simplify that by calling that the checkerboard. So when you play chess, you're actually playing a complex number space game with different parts of the players on those squares and how they move between the black and the white squares. That's called the checkerboard. But it's symbolizing the ability to move from 3D different aspects of complex number space from one physical negative number domain to another physical negative number domain. And that's how the demonic entities get into our space, but we have been prevented from getting into theirs. But our people who have known about this, and they've been able to travel into those other dimensional realms, complex number space. We are told about the astral. People leave their body at night and their physical body is separated and their life force travels into these other domains. Well, there are other people in those other domains. We call them demons, or we call them fancy names. There are people who are in charge of those domains, and there has been complex trade between those domains. And that is when we talk about soul harvesting, and that is when things get very nasty, why you have a war, why you have trading on the stock exchange, why your birth certificate is traded on the stock exchange. So they will trade your life, your certificate when you're born. You have a birth certificate. So all these things are there to be traded. And when somebody wants to collect on their trade, they need to get some souls. And they literally have a war to wipe out and collect those energies so they can use them in their respective power game. And this is when it gets complicated.
So when you're talking about the different frequencies, we're talking about kind of a phase shift.
No. You see, that's the point. You've just mentioned the word phase. If you get a sine wave, do you understand what a sine wave is?
Yes.
Or a wave. If you have the phase of that wave with the wave at the top plus,
yes,
and the trough of the wave is then at the minus at the bottom, right?
Correct.
But and you add the two together, the plus value and the minus value add together to form what?
A flat line. Would it not?
You're correct. You see, you're actually picking up on stuff.
Cancellation.
You could have said zero.
Right.
Right?
Right.
What you're doing is you're actually taking this plus and the minus. They phase rotate by 90 degrees, and you have a double quantity at 90 degrees in another dimension. If you do rotate that to the z-axis, gravity becomes a different value. Therefore, you have anti-gravity technology. This is crucial to understanding how you get these things to work. The most important thing about all electrical science is Maxwell's equation. Maxwell produced a series of quaterns, which is the way that mathematics was written in those days, 200 years ago, 150, 100, whatever years ago. In order for people to understand it, because they'd come up with a different kind of mathematics, those equations were translated into algebraic equations. You know, A equals B minus C under X or something, right? And then you have the cosine of X plus the sine of Y equals Z, you know, that stuff, right? Now, what they did was that when they did that, the original equations in the science of the late 1800s had the full expressions. But then they realized, oh, if we do that, we don't have to have a generator being continually supplied with fuel to keep the generator going. We can use complex number space to have a little waterfall of energy falling inside our generator. Once we open the gate, that waterfall will just keep going. And then we can have what some people would call free energy. It's not free energy. You're simply gating energy from a different phase of existence. In the same way, the way water falls in a waterfall and twirls a turbine at Niagara Falls. The difference is that you're in a different energy field, and that gives you free energy or an unlimited amount of energy in this domain, which means you've never needed to burn J.P. Morgan's petrochemical industries billions and billions and trillions of tons of coal, oil, and gas to keep those fires going, to burn all that fuel up, to create all this carbon dioxide. They've had the science for 180 years, but they've sat on it while they make a whole pile of money while the whole planet goes to hell, literally. So those industrialists who did that, J.P. Morgan, who got all his mates, put them in the Titanic and sank them, and just to make sure, there was a German cruiser parked about 2 miles off from the Titanic to make sure it went down. So this is a very, very black and dark and messy bunch of skullduggery by a bunch of real hoodlums and criminals who have completely conned the planet on all this. So when you have this disclosure on aliens and UFOs, they're going to say you've got to travel at the speed of light and you've got to do this and you can't do that. That has been a load of rubbish, and they've known about it for over 150 years, which is why a lot of these UFOs that people see flying out of secret bases in Nevada and bases around here, black triangles. Around here, we had the TR-3B Alpha, the black triangle craft, picking up people for abductions, flying out of bases here in Peasemore and near Warminster around here in the 1960s. This stuff gives you the instant, the ability to have instant flight appearing to have anti-gravity. It's not anti-gravity. You're creating a field which simply rides like a bubble on gravity, like an air bubble. It's in the equations. And people just need to look up the relevant materials and start teaching themselves this stuff.
Well, it's fascinating that you're saying the TR-3B was around back then. And I know that there's been so many different sightings of that particular craft. And I think in some of your investigation there with some of the super soldier stuff, it crosses over to where some of the people that are actually on the craft are the super soldiers.
Yeah. Now, the whole thing about the super soldiers here, I mean, we now are talking about a guy called John Irwin, who hates my guts. John Irwin published a book called One Step Beyond the 16. In the 1950s, after World War II, there was still conscription. So until 1959, all young people were still conscripted into the British Army for a limited period of military service. He was no different. Come 1957, he was conscripted into the British Army, and he had a very odd experience. But rolling back the years, and I know he doesn't like me saying this, it's in his book, he's told me this. In 1939, his mother left the family home and was missing for a couple of months. His so-called father, I don't know how, it's not his paternal father. Anyway, the father, obviously way up in Newcastle, which is northeast England, put adverts in the local papers. Where is this guy? Where's so-and-so Irwin? Blah, 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 blah. And to his shock, she turns back up at home in Newcastle. Obviously, this is very not the kind of morals that we're dealing with today. This is, you know, this is when somebody comes back and they're pregnant and you haven't seen that person for several months, you know, there are questions being asked. So essentially, I'm saying logically that she was part of a program to have a special baby, which then 17 or 18 years later in 1957 would then join the British military and go straight into a very special fighting force called the 16. Now, moving along very quickly, that special fighting force was fighting in the Middle East, in the Lebanon and Israel and Egypt and places. At that time, I don't think Israel even existed. I think that was before part. Anyway, the thing is that they were looking for very important ancient technology. Now, this is so important. They found two data banks. They did a raid. I won't go into the details now. They did a raid. They got these two extremely weird-looking silvered rectangular things. Just think of a large iPhone. Silver, lots of striations across it. Indentations in it, an extremely high technology piece of equipment. They had two of them. They were in two boxes with felt around them and all nicely protected. Now, using a thing called a reader, Irwin's commander was able to put this reader onto his hand and then run this over this data bank, and all sorts of information started to be displayed in a holographic type of way. They knew they got the right material. They got the material. These were data banks which were thousands of years old, okay? So they got access to technology, but incomplete data. It wasn't the complete set. So they used that information to make super soldiers here in Britain, and they trained them in a place called Burnworthy Manor. The problem was, it was incomplete information, and it didn't quite work out, and a lot of it's gone wrong. But some of the names that we know, like Max Spears, James Casbold, Matt Todd, and now several others who have only just come to light in the last few weeks, were all trained. Haley Mayer, Dave Marrow, these guys were trained in Burnworthy Manor. They were trained in a super soldier program. The Queen made a decision to terminate the program, and these guys were all lined up at Burnworthy Manor and shot. They were very rude, and they sort of didn't die, and that was a bit of a problem. But they were then sent on missions to other domains, off-planet, off-world, to do all sorts of things, and that's where the British Super Soldier Program came from. The NSA Super Soldier Program, and I now understand that James Casbolt has been dealing with the NSA. Also, James Casbolt met the head of MJ-12. For your audience, I'm sure they know what MJ-12 is. And James Casbolt met the head of MJ-12 with a photograph of a downed reptilian at Goodwood Airfield in England, where this aircraft was downed and this reptilian was being flown out of an interrogation center that the Royal Navy had. And they collected him. They took a photograph, and that photograph was in James Casbolt's hip pocket when he was meeting the head of MJ-12. And they weren't too happy as to how he got that photograph. But there is the story.
That's some fascinating information. And for anyone that has any idea of what's being said, the implications of that are not to be taken lightly. So backing it up a little bit, and I don't know if this is a sensitive subject for you, but you mentioned Max Spears as one of those names. His name bubbled up, I believe it was last year, with his death. And that has some very mysterious circumstances surrounding it.
The problem about Max is, I mean, for God almighty, the trouble about Max is he died twice. I mean, how careless can you get about these? I mean, everybody's going to die, but Max, oh, well, he had to die not once, but twice, right? I'm putting a bit of humor on this, but this is really serious. Now, there's a woman, a pop music idol called Katy Perry. Do you know who she is?
We're very familiar with her here in the U.S.
She's the Illuminati queen, okay? She was trained in magic. Most, I'm sure you're aware that in her videos, there is a great deal of satanic magic in plain sight on her videos. She was trained by a good gentleman called Tim Refap. Now, recently she's announced that she's going to marry a guy called Orlando Bloom, right? Now, Orlando Bloom was a participant in a secret ceremony with Max Spears at Canterbury Cathedral. And that secret ceremony was conducted by the Archbishop of Canterbury all those years ago. That meant that Max was going to do one sort of thing and Orlando Bloom was going to do another sort of thing. So right now, the fact that Orlando Bloom is going to marry Katy Perry, she is the Illuminati queen. Now, before that, Madonna was the Illuminati queen. Now, why would these pop stars, or what's called A-listers, have anything to do with the Illuminati? I mean, what's going on here?
That's a really good question. And I think that it only gets darker from there. I mean, if that accusation is true, you know, then there's a lot hinging on that information.
What you're doing when you watch those music videos, and what you're doing and what's been done to you when you go and watch football, even if it's the crude kind of football you have in the United States, because obviously the soccer we play in Britain is far superior. And as a rugby player, I would look down on American football as some kind of modern day fad. I'm being very sarcastic here. As a rugby player, we don't wear pads. We're real men. So the thing is, the way that it's happening is you watch those things and various things happen.
Yeah, and I think that we have a lot of people that understand the symbolism and that are breaking it down. Vigilant Citizen is one of the better ones at being able to cut through some of the stereotypes and really just kind of lay it out. There's several other YouTube channels that are somehow allowed to still talk about it and bring it up. YouTube is demonetizing anything that is termed a conspiracy theory. What that criteria is quite foggy for most people. But, you know, if you do, you know, a sex change operation, that whole thing can be shown on YouTube, full thing, uncensored.
Well, that's because it's an attack on the primary male and female of the species. That should tell you that you are under imminent attack. That should tell you that when the primary male is converted into a non-being, that's the Baphomet. I don't know if those of you who would be Christian or into understanding what the Baphomet is. The Baphomet is the ultimate destruction of humanity and life on this planet into a horrendous creature of multiple forms of both being male and female.
Well, and, you know, just, you know, being us being Christian, you know, that's definitely laughs in the face of creation. And also,
absolutely. That's the whole point. That's what you're facing.
Yes. And it ties into Aleister Crowley's "Do what thou wilt." You know, this whole culture of non-responsibility, of praising sin, of praising these dark works.
I mean, literally, dark matter life. Which part of existential extinction do you not understand? Now, having said that, you mentioned, I think, in the introduction about the black goo, the sentient fluid. Now, for those who understand water, there is a deep water that pumps up in certain places across the planet in what they call sacred springs. And if you go to that and places and you drink the water, you get healed. That's because this is an intrinsic deep water coming from deep in the earth that the earth makes itself. And when it comes up to the surface, it has a morphogenic field. And that is where the so-called Irish shamrock comes from. If you go to Newgrange, or if you're familiar with Newgrange, it's a great mound in Ireland, which predates the pyramids.
That's the first I've heard of it.
Well, essentially, it's a great mound. So if you go to Ireland, it's about 45 minutes north of Dublin, and it's a great monument that was restored in the Boyne Valley, the River Boyne. And the reason why the River Boyne is so important is it has the shape of the galaxy, so it symbolizes the galaxy, symbolizes crossing. When you cross the River Boyne, you are symbolizing crossing the universe, crossing the galaxy. And Newgrange is a tremendous monument. It's a sort of Irish Stonehenge. It's a very important factor. And that's where you have these triple spirals. So you have a little triple spiral, and this makes lots of ornaments and things. That triple spiral is on the sides of the stones of that ancient monument. And it's that morphogenic field that comes from the water, which comes deep within the earth. But the earth has a life force, and when that water comes up, that life force is expressed in a triple torsion field. And when you drink that and you expose the body to that, that energy can reverse aspects of ill health and make you feel better. And that's why these places are sometimes called sacred springs. It's completely different water to the kind of water that you are that you would see, you know, just babbling brook.
You know, we've interviewed a guy named Steven Settlemyer, and had a conversation with him about this water that he filters and does reverse osmosis and does UV treatment. Then he puts it into essentially a microwave compression and is able to spin it into a structured water, which has a stripped deuterium. So it's this water, actually, if you put it in a plastic bottle, it will dissolve the bottle. If you put it, as you drink it, it adapts to your body, and it can chelate. It's strongly chelating. And this water, the question that I posed to him that he had quite the response to was, is this the way water was originally meant to be? Is this the way that water was on the earth at its creation.
Well, that's the point. That's the whole point. If you study archaeology and you talk to some archaeologists, a brilliant woman who from England here called Maria Wheatley. Maria Wheatley will be talking. She'll be talking at Contact in the Desert this summer. She is a genius archaeologist and dowser, and she describes that ancient deep energy, that water that comes way deep. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this water is that the earth also produces oil. It produces an oil which is sentient. So the oil that we burn up in our cars completely unnecessarily, because we've been completely conned by J.P. Morgan and his criminal gang. As I say, he basically held a party on a boat called the Titanic, sank it, made sure he got off. But putting it crudely, this oil is sentient. Now, what's happening is there's a proportion of crude oil when they take it out of the ground is not refinable. And in Iran, they're not in any way unique about this, but in Iran, they were basically the Iranian oil, like this part of the oil they can't refine, so they just have to dump it in the desert. What happened was, and I've spoken to the individual who had this experience, they found that this oil was somehow moving around, and it wasn't the wind that was blowing it. The oil had sentience. So what happened was, this guy goes over to where the oil is, it's just like the edge of a lake, and then this oil actually came up out of the lake, this huge lake of black oil, and it actually came up and surrounded him completely, but did not cover his feet. So he's surrounded by this. This stuff's come up uphill around him. He, to cut a long story short, he then puts his pen in it, he then puts his finger in it, and he noticed that his finger and his pen are not got sticky oil on it. It's not like crude oil. This is, if you put your finger in oil, it'll be all sticky and covered in oil. But what he discovered was this communicated with them telepathically, and it very simply said, "We are here to clean up your mess." Now, cutting to the chase, humanity, our guardians of this planet, particularly what we would call Western civilization. When I say Western civilization, I mean basically everything west of the Urals. Now, the United States is a relatively recent country, and in the scale of things, it's just a blink in the eye. But the so-called Western civilizations have built their empires, they've plundered the planet, they've built their castles, they built their various religions and civilizations. They butchered, killed, murdered, enslaved. They have behaved in the most barbaric and vile way the so-called guardians of the planet should ever behave. They have, putting it mildly, messed with the company coffers, to put it in a corporate way. We are now the problem. This oil, the sentient oil, of which a huge quantity was taken by the British out of Thule Island down in Antarctica. That's why the Germans were down there during the Falklands War. I'm spinning along here very quickly. The Falklands War was basically about recovering a vast amount of sentient oil, which had been encased in very special blue ice in an island called Thule Island. Are you familiar with the pronunciation of the Thule Society, the Thule Society, Nazi before the war?
Yes.
Right, you've got the Thule Society. So the Germans, I don't like calling them Nazis, because the Nazis were a construct of the German secret agency called the DVD, which installed Hitler. They then tried to get rid of Hitler by blowing him up. That didn't work. So then the DVD, they made a construction of what was going to be a post-World War plan for Europe, and that was what we now call the EU. So the European Union is a Fourth Reich construct planned in Germany so they could militarily be seen to fail, but in fact took control. And this secret German intelligence agency has been very well documented in a book by Michael Shrimpton, who writes for Veterans Today, and I recommend you read that with extreme detail. It's full of references. It's very well researched. Now, the point about South Atlantic and Antarctica, that the islands south of the Falklands were the Georgia Islands, and one of those islands was called Thule Island. During the Falklands War, there were four British ships. One was a major cargo carrier, a cargo ship. Two were cruisers, and one was a submarine. Elements of the Special Boat Service, the Special Air Service, and the Marines took over an Argentinian base, which was the surface cover for a base which was much deeper in the deep blue ice. In the Antarctic, there's a very special kind of ice which looks blue and looks like ice, but it isn't. It's a different material. And there were 400 interlocking crates of this ancient sentient fluid encased in this ice at minus 20 degrees. What the British did was that these big 1 meter by 1 meter long barrels were interlocked with each other like elements of a zip. They took 400 of these out of the base, put them into the container ship, and got them back to England. Now, when you opened up, and then they blew the hell out of the whole place. They blew the place to kingdom come, right? Now, what they noticed about this was, when you opened the canister, the barrel, it's not a barrel, it's an interlocking thing, as I say, like a zip. So a very high technology compartment. When they opened that, there was a very thin layer of a brownish fluid over the surface of this oil. And when you put your fingers anywhere near it, this oil would want to come up and meet you. It would want to come and see you. Now, what we understand is this may have been refined from a swarm of meteors which were intentionally crashed into the southern hemisphere near Argentina and that general region, which is in rock strata. And in Germany, if you get two beakers of this material, it will go to sleep and then it will also wake up. When it wakes up, it will discover that there is more of itself close by and the two will want to join up. Okay, so this is a sentient oil. It's highly intelligent. And the British Marconi people introduced this on the civilian side, the Boots Labs in Nottingham. They tried introducing this to human beings, but instead of getting, you know, robot killers who would go and kill everything in sight, it gave a sentience to the person, and they wanted to understand with a loving care. And unfortunately, this led to the deaths of many scientists, young people who were tasked to work on this, because their intention was hostile. Their intention was to weaponize. So they all killed themselves. They self-terminated because the oil was able to communicate with these scientists and tell them the only way it could defend itself was to get them to kill themselves. So this is combining with the oil that we use to put into our cars and stuff. So this stuff has communicated with us, and it's basically saying, we clean this place up or we're part of the problem. So right now, we and our corporations and our corrupt everybody's, because the scale of the corruption and backhanders is out of order. It's a breach of universal law. We sort it or we will be sorted. And that's it. Now, we now have technology which can clean the Atlantic, we can clean the oceans, we can clean the water that comes out of the ships, we can do all this and return this beautiful planet back to the state that it should have been in without the 150 years of burning and polluting and the wars and the skullduggery and the corruption at almost every level. I repeat, I'm not here, but I'll repeat on this, nobody has got a comfort zone here. If somebody thinks that, well, I'm this, and it'll affect the other guy, or this other type of race they'll be done, and I'll be okay. No, you will not. If you're walking about this planet, breathing the planet's air, or you're maybe from somewhere else, and you shouldn't be here, we've got to shape up or ship out, and that's the bottom line.
That's quite a message. I think that there are a lot of really good people that are trying to elevate their thinking. I think that there's, you know, for a lot of the negative that gets focused on in the world, that we have, you know, 10 more people out there that are actually trying. But this message is really interesting, because a lot of it has to do with understanding the whole picture as you've just given it. Another part of it has to do with understanding how we are being conditioned to be okay with it. And back to the black goo, you know, some of that has to do with entertainment. We have the latest iteration of this in entertainment is the Venom movie, where you have a sentient black goo that is called a symbiote. And then this is combined with humans. And when it's combined with humans, it becomes its own entity. And so it's right in our face. It's a very fascinating thing that keeps cropping up.
Yes, well, it is. And that particular story is repeated in a different guise. I mean, obviously, the first time we sort of saw this was in Prometheus and the X-Files and stuff. But that's science fiction. The stuff I'm talking about is real. The material in the earth that comes from the oil in the earth. I mean, for instance, the Russian oil fields, the Russians don't deplete their oil to zero. Like, I think it seems to be this... We haven't learned since killing the buffalo or the dodo that if you keep just farming, kill, you end up like with a desert, and then you move on to something else. That should tell you something about who's really running the show in terms of agriculture and the way that we treat things. What they did is they would take the oil and leave quite a lot behind so the well would stay wet. Then they found that if they went back to this capped well, it was full again. But the important thing is the type of oil. I don't know if your audience understands that every oil well has got a different chemical signature. So, for instance, oil that comes out of the North Sea has got a completely different chemical signature to the sort of oil that would come out of East Texas somewhere. Okay? What the Russians found was that the oil that they had refilled, their oil well had refilled, topped itself up, that oil came from southern Argentina. The opposite side of the planet, which means how did the oil in the southern hemisphere get its way up to northern Siberia in the northern hemisphere? We must have, the earth must have a living corporeal system of living sentient oil. So we are on a living planet and we've been abusing it. And I don't want to go all green and touchy-feely and stuff because we ourselves are responsible. We have to be responsible. And by doing that, and adopting the kind of solutions which the earth has given us, we can make this place a better place, a wonderful place. And it's time to take accountability for our politicians and leaders. We ultimately are allowing this all to happen. We have to take the corporate leaders who are fleecing us, poisoning us. Again, the moves in recent weeks by the kind of people I've referred to earlier have meant that certain controlling elements who had control of the U.S. water supply, poisoning it, there are something like 20 poisons in your water and our water. They don't even have tests to measure. So we are being conditioned to being doped, poisoned, enslaved, and killed at a profit. It's time that stopped. And those doing it, held to account and criminally prosecuted for the criminality that they've exposed this planet to over the last 150 plus years. And that's only the recent era.
That's an outstanding charge to give people. I think a lot of us, you know, I feel like personally that I've been quote unquote awake for, you know, 10 to 15 years. And I've been interested in these different subjects, but then to put them in a context and to try to make sense of it in combination with all the different oddities, all the different things that are happening out there, you've brought a fantastic point of view because of the information that you've been exposed to. And that message, we want our listeners to be able to listen to that, to digest it, and to internalize that. And in your own way, find a way to make yourself better, your family, whatever the sphere of influence that you have that has impact in these ways. We're an interesting time on this planet's history.
Yes, I think it's very important that ordinary people, just in your daily life, that was one of the things we discovered in the pirate station. If you can just do a little thing, something small, with your intention that you just want to do things better, and don't be afraid of anything, don't take the fear pill. Likewise, don't take the happy pill. Don't take any pills. Your responsibility, loving awareness. That's what we came up with, running those pirate ships off the North Sea. I mean, but another thing, that you just, if you just do your own little thing in your own way, just so as you take the kids to school or whatever, or your congressman or your all these people in power think they're going to get away with this abuse of power. It's not going to happen. It never does, and it never will, and it ain't going to happen now. So whatever you are in, whatever level you're in, and you think, see, one of the things that people don't understand is no matter who you are, there's somebody there who's going to fire you, right? Everybody's got a boss, and everybody gets fired one way or another if you don't come up to scratch. So no matter how powerful you are, and how many elites you may be part of, or no matter how many children you rip the heads off and eat, 40,000, how many? 100,000, 200,000 children going missing a year? I mean, this is a ghastly business, and it's time this stopped. It's over. These creatures leave town now.
Well, I can't thank you enough for bringing that message and also sharing some time with us. It's been a fascinating journey, and we hope to have you back on and at a further point with more of the current updates of your investigations. We've kind of had a 10,000 foot view of the field, and we might get more into a more granular subject next time. But we appreciate your time, Miles.
Well, thank you very much indeed. But I must stress, there have been major changes for the better, but it's still up to us all to be responsible and live up to that responsibility. Thank you.
I agree 1,000%. Thank you so much. Well, folks, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep in mind, as some of this is striking and heavy to bear, there is a ray of hope in all the frustrating mess we are in, and that is you and me. We are awake and aware individuals who can make a difference right where we are. The power is within us to make positive changes within our families, communities, workplaces, and places of worship. We can serve each other, and by doing so, dark forces cannot rise above us. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.